Well, good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, I'd like to say welcome to the first message of 2025, but this is the second worship experience, so welcome to the second message of 2025. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here. And I say it every single Sunday, I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And listen, we get to not only kick off a new year, but we get to kick off a new series. And as you can see behind me, it's entitled Set Free. And we want you to start this year exactly that, walking in freedom. And if you're not somebody that understands what that statement means, you're like, well, we live in the United States of America. We're free. Yes, that's true. But there's a lot of people that are still bound up and caged up and living in caves that they are okay with. They're stuck in and they don't have to be. Larry Paladin, Pastor Larry, came to me this morning. We have people praying every single Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m. They get here, they're praying for you, they're praying for our Sunday morning worship experience, and he comes to me almost every Sunday he's leading prayer, and he gives me a rundown of what everybody's heard and what they prayed for and what they believe God was speaking. And this Sunday, he came to me, and he told me almost verbatim what today's message was going to be about. And he said, we just kept seeing people almost in cages that they didn't need to be in because there was no door. And that freedom was theirs, but they chose to continue to remain locked up. I said, Pastor Larry, did you have any idea what today's message was going to be about? And he's like, no. I was like, did anybody that was up there say that they checked their email and actually saw what the series was going to be about? And he's like, probably not. Listen, if you're here today and you feel like you're just stuck, you've been stuck and you don't know how to get out, today's message is for you. Because what we want you to know is that sometimes you get into caves and you get into dark places and you don't know how you got there. What do we want people to do today? Identify where you're at. Be brutally honest and confront that brutal reality that you may be in and move forward. Understand that whenever we confront the brutal reality that we're in and we can choose to make the change that we need, the curiosity that God puts for our future can really empower us and encourage us and equip us for what He has. So, I'm going to pray, and then I believe that all of you are not just going to be hearers of the word today, but doers. What does that mean? You're going to walk out of here, not just like, oh, that was good. I wrote down a few things, but you're getting ready to walk it out. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, we pray that the remainder of our time together, that you would encourage us, empower us, equip us, and that we would truly get to see how to walk in freedom all the days of our lives. Lord, that we would understand that you have set us free, that you've set us free so that we can understand the victory that we get to walk in. And Lord, we can help others walk in freedom as well. Lord, we praise you. We bring all honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I believe that I'm in a room of people that are, if you're not following Jesus, you want to follow Jesus, or you're okay with the idea of following Jesus. So you've either been set free or you're really kicking around the idea of I want to be set free. So he tells us that if we follow his truth, if we understand who he is, this truth that he gives us in his word will truly set us free. So I understand that if he knows that we need to be set free, he also knows that we can be locked up at times. Now let's just keep going here. Verse 36 of John chapter 8. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Now, when Pastor Larry came to me and said, we got a picture of some people that are in cages, but they don't need to be in the cage because there's no door. It was like, so you're telling me that you feel like there's going to be some people that are coming into church today that are locked up, bound up, chained up, and they don't need to be any longer. I believe that there are people in this room right now that you are not walking in the benefits of the cross. You know who Jesus is. You know what he says about you. You know that this word in John 8, verse 36, is true. You're not doubting that, but you're not walking in it. You're not walking in the freedom. You're not walking in the release of the bondage that you can be walking in. You're not walking in the fact that the restrictions of your life have been removed. You're not walking in the fact that you've been delivered from the spiritual chains that kept you bound. There's this liberty that you get to walk in. Let me sum this up for how you might be able to understand a little bit better. Here we go. You work a job. And then when payday comes, and that direct deposit's supposed to hit, you call HR, and you're like, hey, you know what? You keep that. You hold on to that. I don't want that benefit. That's what we laugh, but that's what so many of us are doing. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be free and free indeed. And you're like, you know what, Jesus, that's nice, but I'm still going to stay in this cave. I'm still going to stay bound up and locked up because I like my stuff. Let me take it a step further. Your retirement. If you have a 401k or a pension, or if you work for a nonprofit, you have a 403b, that's like contributing to it and telling your employer, hey, look, you know what? You keep that matching part. I don't want that matching part. I don't need that. I don't need it at all. That's a nice benefit, but somebody else could use that more than me. I'm good. Why aren't we walking in the benefits that God has for us? God created us for freedom, but yet we stay locked up. God created us not to just cope and get by, but yet we do it. This is as good as it gets. That's okay. You know what that's called? The Eeyore spirit. It's my tail. It'll do, pig. You all know it. The Eeyore spirit was all over our town yesterday. It's gonna snow. What are we gonna do? I gotta go get bread. What are we gonna do, Pooh? There's no toilet paper, Pooh. See what I did there? Yeah. I was Eeyore talking to Pooh about toilet paper. Some of you, is, but now you're there. Now you caught it. But it's true. We have freedom and life abundantly, but we choose to be negative. Oh, it's because of where we grew up. It's the Mon Valley. There's just a cloud over the Mon Valley. The same Bible that God promises life and life abundantly is in every part of the country and the world. The Mon Valley's no different. We get to walk in freedom. We get to live a life that is not just coping and getting by. We get to live a life of victory. We don't have to fight for it. We fight from it. You know, I want to give a little bit of context for the next 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about a man in the Bible named Elijah. Now, this man is a mighty man of God. He was present at the Transfiguration. He, in 1 Kings chapter 17, he caused the rain to cease for more than 3 years. We see that in verse 1. He brought a widow's son back to life in verse 22. He was somebody that he continued to win and win and win. In chapter 18, two of the biggest, highest priests of the moment, he took on 450 prophets of Baal and wins the contest. He calls fire down from heaven after drenching the woods with water 3 times. He ends a drought by prayer. Pretty powerful man of God. Elijah was on a winning streak. From all appearances, it seems that Elijah could never struggle with his faith, but he did. So who is he? James 5:17 says Elijah was a person just like us. Just like you and me. So many times we can remove ourselves from the people in the Bible. They're not like us. There's too many gaps. Cultural gaps, geographical gaps, linguistical gaps. They talk different. They live different. They lived in a different place. They're not like us. No, they are. They were just like us. Listen, we struggle with our faith. I struggle with my faith. You're going to struggle with your faith if you haven't yet. What you do next matters. Who's walking next to you when you struggle matters. Listen, we all have doubt. We all have fear. We all have anxiety. We've all dealt with or walked through depression, or we've all walked around it. But we think, or we struggle with, if you're really spiritual, you're not going to have to deal with those problems. Listen. 5 years. This is the first Christmas in 5 years that I wasn't in or praying to get out of or not go into the hospital. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm so, so thankful. 5 years of in and out of hospitals and in and out of infection and all the... It'll mess with you mentally. It'll mess with you physically. It'll mess with you emotionally. It'll mess with you financially. It'll mess with all the Lees in your life. Every one of them. But so many times we say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm all good. I'm fine. You better have some people in your life that whenever you say that, they know to call your bluff. Or you don't even need to say it because you can tell them the truth. I'm not good. You ever ask somebody how they're doing and they're like, I'm not good. And you're like, oh no. I don't got time for this. I really was hoping you would just say you were good. Can we go back to before I asked you the question? Can we just go back? You got to have some people that are there whenever you are distressed. Whenever you are struggling. Because how you react whenever you're not having some winning moments defines you. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just like you killed them. Imagine getting that message. Now, it was just a threat. It was like a Facebook post, if you will. Elijah gets this Facebook post, and then he starts playing some mental games. I wish that Facebook would become forget book for a lot of people. You know, we have fasting and prayer starting tonight at our worship night in Murraysville, and then we're going to be fasting and praying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Fasting is you abstaining from food, telling your flesh that you are fed by God, not by food, okay? He is what sustains you. Getting off of Facebook is not a fast. It's a good idea. So I just want to throw that in there. That's free of charge. It's not. So this post on Facebook, it wasn't even from Ahab. It was from his wife. I don't know why somebody laughed, but I don't. Okay. Secondhand offense, maybe. So Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Walk this scenario out a little bit in your mind. He's winning over and over and over and over and over again. Finally, he's not. And everything ceases to exist, and he wants to cease to exist. A major prophet, a mighty man of God, all the courage in the world. He wants to end it all because of a Facebook post. He went back on his commitment to serve God, all because of what Jezebel said. This is what happens to so many of us. Elijah went alone. He isolated. He went under this broom tree, and he prays that he might die. What is this broom tree? It's short. It's about 8 feet high. Short. I didn't. Everybody else heard broom tree short, 8 feet high. I didn't. I tried. Thank you. This broom tree represents a place of provision and rest. But so many times we think that all we need is a little bit of rest. All we need is a little bit of refueling. But that's not what's going to sustain us long term. You know, we need a shelter in difficult times, and we need a place that we run to, not to hide, but to be protected. But we can't stay there all the days of our life. You know, if we always run away in fear and anxiety and we hide from things, there really is a demon of death in anxiety. And when Jesus confronted demons, he called them out. He didn't say, go run and hide. He called them out. You know, there's a lot of reasons in our life that we end up in dark places, in caves, if you will. Life imbalances is a really big one. Our lifestyles cause so many imbalances in our life. You know, depression is such a real thing. But so many times, a lot of us are just really sad and we're saying we're depressed. I've been depressed before Jesus. Depression makes you want to not get out of bed for weeks on end. Depression makes your bones hurt. Being sad is like, hey, it's getting dark early. Can't wait for spring to get here. Depression can be a lifestyle that so many times we get stuck in it, and it gets us into overthinking, and we live there. We get comfortable there. And we just start overthinking and overthinking and overthinking and overthinking and overthinking. Snow's coming. Snow squalls, 40 feet high. They're out of bread. Oh, no. Toilet paper. You know, when we get to that overthinking part, we let up when we start winning. Elijah, like I said, had major victories over and over and over and over and over again. And just when he started to keep winning, he let up, and he became vulnerable. You know, I'm going to be vulnerable with you as if I haven't already been. 2 years into my infection, I remember I had a PICC line in. It was a 24-hour-a-day IV. I was a couple surgeries in at this point, and I remember it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I had just finished up my IVs for the day, and I couldn't sleep, as I often was. And I had never had these thoughts before, never thought of, the church was going well, everything was going great. 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had this thought, you know, just why would you lay here in pain over and over and over and over and over and over again? Just end it. Nobody would miss you. Everything's going great. Nobody needs you anyways. By 3:03 a.m., I'm really, really thankful that I was able to decipher that as a lie. Now, I needed to still, where did that lie come from? Why did that lie try to creep in? Where was that? But there may be some people in here today that you haven't been able to decipher the lies you're hearing as a lie. And I want to let you know that if it isn't empowering you, equipping you, encouraging you, or enabling you to move forward and past your past, it is a lie. Don't let up. Don't get comfortable. Don't become complacent. How many people ski in the room? How many people are skiers? Okay. You, who said I've skied? Yeah. I've done it. I've tried. You know, 90% of ski accidents happen when people are just coasting at the end of their skiing session. They get complacent and comfortable. They happen in the last hour of the day because they've been tearing it up all day. I've been doing good all day. I'm going to get risky now. Phil, he wants to be a ski patrol, not just for the free skiing and cool jacket. He has a heart for people. And he likes to challenge himself, but I guarantee that he's probably going to hear this a few times if he does it. Oh, I was doing so good all day till this. Don't let up. Don't get complacent and don't get comfortable. Overconfidence will get you stuck. Listen, not everything that is doable is sustainable. You can't continue to do the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and sustain that. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are about to embark upon a playoff run to try to win their third Super Bowl in a row. I pray that they don't do it because I don't want to hear about it. I really don't. Just imagine Mahomes with that voice just. I'm not hating. There's just a reason that it's never been done. It's hard. You can't sustain those things. I'd love to see history. I love history. It'd be cool to see it. It'd be cool to see it if the Steelers do it. Anybody but the Chiefs and the Broncos. Overconfidence will wear you out and make you weary. If you run too fast for too long, you will burn up. That's why we talk about the RPMs a lot. Our RPMs on your car, if it gets too high, your engine will blow up. If they get too low, your engine will stall out. What are your RPMs? How are you doing relationally? How are you doing physically? How are you doing mentally? And how are you doing spiritually? How are those things doing? Because if those things aren't in check, you will blow up. Or if you're not moving forward in them, you will stall out. But so many times we say, oh, I'm getting burnt out. Not I'm blowing up, I'm getting burnt out. But we're not spending time with the one who throws fuel on our fire. My sister-in-law encouraged me so much, she had no idea she did it, but it was one of her social media posts. It was on Instagram. And she wrote herself a letter. And I'm not going to read it verbatim. I'm just going to misquote it a little bit. But it said, Maria, if you don't have 15 minutes to spend time with God, maybe you need to rethink some things in your life. And she put it in her Bible. And I don't know how often she would read that letter, or if she just reopened that letter, or if she just took a picture of it for social media. I have no idea. For the gram. But it's so true. If you don't have time to spend time with the one who created you, you need to refocus on some things. Because I guarantee a majority, not all, but a majority of you probably stayed up and watched a little bit of the Steeler game last night. And that was not worth watching. Russell Wilson is making $40 million this year, and he did not throw that ball out of bounds to stop the clock. It's okay. We listen, we don't judge. Right? But right at that point, you should have known, I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. Okay? We were not designed for the sedentary, indoor, socially isolated, fast food laden, sleep deprived, frenzied pace of modern life. This quote rings so true because Rachel and I, we went on a missions trip to Spain. And I got to see a whole different way of life. I realized that our lives that we live, and I'm so thankful to live in the United States of America. I love it. But our lifestyles are crazy. I learned this because when we walked in to a coffee shop, and Sean and Sarah were with us, that we were with them, that we walked into the coffee shop and we asked for our coffees to go, and they looked at us like we were insane. Because you did not get coffee to go. You sat and you enjoyed your coffee and you ate your breakfast and then you left after like an hour. They gave us our coffee as they were calling us stupid Americans. I know that's what they were calling us. They had to go look for to-go cups. They had no idea where they were. By the third day that we're there, we're kicked up on the sidewalk in the Miranda, like drinking our espressos, eating our baguettes. Like, I guess we should go now. We were regulars. We loved it. Rachel and I came home. We were having breakfast every morning on our front porch, drinking San Pellegrinos. We had to like adjust to not drinking water with air bubbles. They took naps every day from 2 to 5. Siesta's a real thing. That's not just something, that's not just some shady motel on 30. Their lifestyles are different. And guess what? They lived longer, they were more joyful, they were healthier, and their complexion was better. I'm being serious. We're living this mentality that is draining us. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful of quietness than 2 hands full of toil and a striving after the wind. Our lifestyle and our mindset is that if one donut is good, 2 is better. If 1 is good, 2 is better. If 1 is good, 2 has to be better. If 1 wife's good, 2... never mind. Pastor Rick wrote that joke. And I think it's... wrong. Somebody during the first worship experience shouted, wrong church. I was like, yes, you're correct. You're correct. It's okay to laugh in church, guys. Get used to it. Have fun. Be joyful. Okay? What would it look like if we gave up a handful of the extra? Your extra time. Your extra stuff. You know why it feels good to take down Christmas decorations? Because, not because you don't like Christmas, because you clean your house. It feels so fresh. Wonder why. I'm being serious. The clutter goes away. The stuff. That's why it feels good. Because you're doing something. Elijah, after great victory, things were going so well, ended up in a struggle emotionally, mentally, physically. We get burned out too quick instead of going to God. Isolation and loneliness will wear us out. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Then he went on alone into the wilderness. Listen, the first problem in the Bible was solitude. You're like, what? Yeah, it is not good for man to be alone. That didn't just mean that he needed a wife. No, it's not good for us to be alone. We were not created to be alone. And I'm not talking about, you know, introverts and extroverts and one's better than the other, although I do believe that if everybody was extroverts, it'd just be a way better place. I'm kidding. I'm joking. It is not... I am joking, by the way. But when we get alone, we get weird. When I get alone, I get weirder. We weren't created to be alone. We're created to be in community. We're created to share life together. We're created to do life together. Whenever we feel like we're in this cave, this dark place, we can do everything to want to get out. We know we might know that there was a way in because we got in there. We might have walked ourselves in there, but we just don't know how to get out. We know there's a way out, but we don't know how to get out. I just don't know where it is. But I know I don't want to be in here anymore. I know that there's bats. I know that there's noises. I know that it's cold. I know that it's leaking. And I don't want to be in here anymore. You can't get out of some things by yourself. So that's why it's not good to be alone. It's hard to get out of quicksand by yourself. I know this because I watch Tailspin. But there's been some people in my life that have gotten me out of some caves. And there's some people in this room that I will go into any cave with you. I will walk into any cave. I will go into any foxhole. I will do anything with you. I'm riding. Here's one way to get out of the cave. You ready? Lean forward. Turn off the TV. Get off of Facebook. Log out of Instagram. Stop watching the news. For some weeks, 3 weeks, try 3 weeks. Now, I'm not telling you that's fasting. No, that's a good idea. Prayer and fasting is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Abstain from food because God sustains you. Focus on Him. But it's a good idea to turn off social media and the news and Facebook and TV for a little bit. One of my goals for 2025 is to make more memories. I want to make so many memories. I want to go ice skating more. I want to ride my bike more. I want to make so many memories with Rachel and Lennon. It's crazy. And I want to be exhausted when I'm done doing it. Buckle up. I'm going to be hungry and tired. Not cranky, but hungry and tired. Giving you some hints here. Just have snacks. When we get alone, we start to do this thing called ruminating self-talk. We start telling ourselves things. Elijah did it. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm no better than my ancestors. Just take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. You know, I used to do this a lot. Especially before Jesus in my life. I used to do it. I used to compare myself to people. I used to compare myself to others. I used to think when football was over, I was never going to amount to anything. And I could just hear my dad over and over and over and over again. I just don't want you to end up in the mill. I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to go to the mill. I don't want you to just go to the mill. But meanwhile, you couldn't get in the mill if you tried. I was like, Dad, it ain't like what it was. You got to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and then that person got to know somebody, and then you got to pray and believe and fast for a year. I wish I could have gotten them. No, it's serious. It's not the same mill that my dad was in for 35 years. But then if you stick long enough in your own ruminating self-talk, you'll start telling yourself other things, like in verse 14, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. How am I failing? I did so much for God. How am I going through this? He's telling God, look what I've done for you. And I'm struggling. I'm going through this. We take our distress and we start talking in our minds that I shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't struggle in this way. I shouldn't be going through this. I've done all the right things. I'm a good person. No. You're not. I'm not. None of us are. No. Jesus was. We follow him. You know, we start doing the same thing that a cow does. We start regurgitating things and we chew on it more and then we regurgitate it more and then we chew on it more and then we chew on it more and then we regurgitate it, we swallow it and then we chew on it more. It's called cud. I didn't actually do it. What do you think? I just had some straw? Ew. I didn't actually do it. But that's what we do. Mentally, over and over and over and over and over again. And guess what? When we do that, it gets grosser and grosser and more gross. More gross, and then by the time you're done chewing on it over and over and over again, you don't even know what you started with. I think it was hay. I don't even know. I don't even know what I was mad about. Why was I upset? Our thoughts regurgitate to get worse and worse and worse and worse. We were made for community. We were made for connection. And when we fail to communicate, we tend to ruminate on the wrong things. Focus on what is pure, right, honorable. It's easy when you're alone to not focus on the right things. It's easy to focus on the wrong things whenever you're alone. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You got to sift through your thoughts. You got to take your thoughts captive and you got to be on the offensive against them. And you got to fight differently. You got to fight differently now. Not fight the same way you used to fight. Your thought life can and will destroy you if you let it. But if you chew on the right things over and over and over and over and over again, the right things will be produced. Philippians 4:7, I believe and I pray for you all the time that you will experience a peace that goes beyond all understanding. When you're going through the worst days of your life, when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a rough time or a rough season or a rough day or a rough moment at work or whatever it may be, that you'd be walking in peace and joy and you don't even understand it, because that's a promise of God. That is a promise. That's not just something you might get by accident. It's a promise. One of the guys in our connection group had a rough day the other day. You know, the creek rose and some things went down with it. And I just said to him exactly what he would have said to me. And he said, "You're right." But I did the exact same thing he would have done to me. And I said the exact same thing back to him that he said to countless men in our connection group over and over and over again. You need people in your life that are going to help you fight. Know when you're at your most vulnerable. And know when you got to let somebody know you're vulnerable. Rachel knows when I get the most weird. It's when things are being shaken. I don't like things being shaken. Our house was in complete disarray for like 7-8 weeks because of construction, and I got weird. I got weird. Chuck walked in my house. He's like, "You all right, bro?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm good." He's like, "No, you aren't. You look like green." I was like, I don't like when things are out of order. And he's like, "It's gonna be all right." I was like, "I can't, my nose is bleeding. I can't breathe." He's like, we got this, bro. I was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. But I know when I'm vulnerable, when things are shaken. Do you know when you're vulnerable? Do you know when your schemes get hit? Know your most vulnerable moments. Know what causes you to get weird. Of your emotions, positive or negative, are determined by how you talk to yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. What do you say to yourself? I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. I'm just as good as my ancestors. This is my tale. What are you saying to yourself? Comparison is the thief of our joy. So many times we're thinking, I've been robbed of stuff. I've been robbed of so much. But this is what we're doing. The door's completely unlocked and we're just letting him in. He doesn't even need to break in anymore. What are you doing to control your thought life? What's going in? Prayer, fasting, and worship the next 3 weeks. Do you have a plan yet? Are you going to the worship night tonight? What do you mean? It's at the Murraysville campus. We're not rival gangs. We are one church in four locations. If one more person asks me, can I go to all three of them? Yes. We are not rival gangs. We are one church in four locations. Your church is having a worship night tonight in Murraysville. And then next week, your church is having a worship night in White Oak. Well, I go to a different church than you. No, you don't. You attend a different location at a different time. We are one church in four locations. Don't get stuck in not recognizing the spiritual battle. The worship night is how we fight now. If you're not recognizing that you're in a spiritual battle, come to the worship night. We got some things you could fight for. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Your past. Your old stinking thinking. Yourself. Don't confuse where you are with who you are. Who are you? Some of you in this room, you have fully 100% taken your rightful position as a son or daughter of the King. That's who you are. Some of you in this room, you have 100% taken your rightful position. And you understand that you're more than a conqueror. Some of you in this room, you have 100% understood that you are not to walk in a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Some of you have already bought in and understood that Philippians 4:7 is a promise and not something that you have to strive for, that you will experience a peace that goes beyond all understanding all the days of your life. I say some of you purposefully. Because if you're in this room and it's time for you to confront the brutal reality that you don't have what I just spoke of, it's probably because you don't have a day, a time, a place where you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you have received him as your Lord and Savior, that means you haven't taken your rightful position as a son or daughter. That means you're sitting at the wrong table. So how do you do that? It's really simple. The word tells us to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is Lord, and you shall be saved. Saved from what? Yourself. A life separate from him. A long spiritual death. So maybe today's your day. January 5th, 2025. And if I'm speaking to you, I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing maybe you've ever done. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place where I've taken my rightful position as a son or daughter.